sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, all things sports right here where sports meets life. Originality, integrity, a little bit of comedy, keeping it going here as I continue on. And folks, I believe that, yes, at the end of November, it will be 10 years, a decade that I have been sports broadcasting. So I cannot thank you enough for all that you've done and all the support that I have had from back in 2003 when I sat down to do something that I love and I always wanted to do, and can never thank enough the people that helped make that opportunity possible. No, none more than Brandon Smith, very good friend of mine. I call him my brother, and somebody that called me up at the end of November in 2003 said, "Dan, I know that you have been waiting for an opportunity. I just come to campus in August." And he said, "Dan, I know that you want to broadcast." He said, "You said to me, and I remember that you really wanted to do something and that you wanted to get started however you can and that you wanted to do it as soon as you could." It was 8 minutes before the game. I had quarters in my hand. I was doing laundry in the community. And you know it, college kids, and for everybody that went to college, you know it. When you're on that college campus and you get really upset because you're paying tuition and room and board, and you got to put money in to wash your clothes, and you contemplate not doing it. And in my case, I was 2 hours away from home, so it's not like I could drive home, do my laundry, come back. Some of you are saying, "Yes, you can, Dan. I did it last week." But I'm standing there. I got the quarters in my hand, got my hamper in my other hand. He had a phone call, and it was Brandon. And he told me, "You know, we need you. Can you be here? There's 8 minutes before the game." I said, "Yeah, I was going to do laundry. Let me just put it down, and I'll be there." And I showed up, and for the rest of my time at Marywood University until my graduation day, MU Courtside, the name that I created for NCAA Division III men's and women's basketball coverage of Marywood University's teams, has been that way. And the show from 2003 is still going. And from what I know, from what I've been told, from people still living in the Pennsylvania area, it has become one of the cornerstone programs of Marywood University. So I cannot thank Brandon enough, and it got me started. I knew no matter what, I was going to get there somehow, and I thank everyone who's helped me along the way, including everybody that's hated on me, everyone that has been rude, disrespectful, envious, jealous, mean, bullying. Whatever I have faced, for all the love and all the support, and at the same time for all the hate and all the disgust, I thank everyone. Because those that have hated me, I work harder, I get stronger. For those that have loved me, I work harder, I get stronger. So thank you for everything that you have all done. Thank you for listening in today. And I'm very happy to bring you a very special episode getting started for the season with Syracuse Orange men's basketball. I said at the end of last season when Syracuse lost in the Final Four to Michigan, I said that my belief was if C.J. Fair came back, which he has, that with the talent Syracuse had coming in, that with these young freshmen, these true freshmen, plus what they have in the Trevor Cooneys and the Jeremy Grants and Baikitas, put that all together and have C.J. Fair come back, and I believe that this Syracuse team will make it back to the Final Four. I said that. I'm sticking by it. They had a little bit of a scare against Cornell, went down early, but they came back. They were down by as many as 14, but went up by as much as 24, ended up winning the game by 22, 82-60, in their season and home opener in front of 20,000-plus at the Carrier Dome for the season opener in the beginning of November. That was not a conference game. That was not a huge rivalry. I mean, it's a long-standing rivalry that Syracuse has had, but typically the early, and this is no disrespect to Cornell, could be any team, typically the early games for Syracuse don't really see a lot of people. And this game, 20,000 plus, says a lot about what you can expect against North Carolina and Duke, and says a lot about Cornell, who had a fan base there, pretty big fan base, not too far away from Syracuse on Interstate 81. And for the Syracuse Orange, that 20,000 plus were sitting in the stands for that game really made the atmosphere pretty great to be around, to be completely honest. So I appreciated being a part of that because I'm always a fan at heart. I am very happy to bring you exclusive interviews that I had one-on-one after that Cornell game with Michael Benajay, Baikita, Tyler Ennis, Rakeem Christmas, and Mr. Trevor Cooney, who is someone that I have believed in and thought is really going to be something special. I've had a belief in Trevor Cooney. I just see somebody that, you know, he can really do it. And in this game, he did. He did it very well. Very strong play out of Trevor Cooney. You'll hear from all of those, but not before we get to you on the fan line. We got to take a quick step aside, and then we'll get you on the line here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com. You'll hear from these quick messages from my partners at Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, and then we're jumping on the fan line with you, and later on, we'll get to those one-on-one exclusives with the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team. Only on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Come out to Pole Position Raceway, the premier indoor electric karting experience. Open 7 days a week, their quarter-mile-long European-style track, located on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, is home to the fastest electric karts in North America, with speeds up to 45 miles per hour. Arrive and drive any day, Monday through Sunday. Pole Position Raceway is also available for group events. From kids' birthday parties to corporate events, they will provide an authentic, exhilarating, and safe racing experience your guests will never forget. For more information, visit PolePositionRaceway.com or stop in today on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. Pole Position Raceway, built by racers for racers.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Rack 'em up for the perfect sport to play in any weather. Salt City Billiards in North Syracuse, located on Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81, has been the home of a dozen pool tables featuring some of your best shots and memories for years. Cue it up at Salt City Billiards any day of the week. And make sure you're there with me, Dan Tortora, for on-call nights every single Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m., where you'll rack them up as many times as you want with 2 hours of pool play for just $5. Also, Bud and Bud Light specials, and we can talk about sports. That's on-call nights Thursdays, 7 to 9 p.m. at Salt City Billiards, where you can grab a drink, get something to eat, and dive into the pool no matter what the season. Salt City Billiards, minutes from Interstate 81 on Brewerton Road in North Syracuse.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. Here on WakeUpCallDT.com, so many different things that you can get, from shows, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, to Back on the Field that you could get with Rob Drummond and I talking about all things football-related, be it college, Syracuse specifically, or the NFL. And you can also get a lot of different things, including YouTube, as well as fantasy football advice, and where you want to go when it comes to going somewhere good, when you want to get that special treat for yourself, you want to treat yourself and the family. Carvel DeWitt, when you're looking for something to do, Salt City Billiards and Pole Position Raceway. When you're looking to get your team clothed correctly, DrySigAthletic.com. And when that woman in your life, or for the women listening right now, they want to have a relaxed fit, clothing that's going to work with them so that they don't have to change all throughout the day to feel comfortable, drysiglady.com, that's D-R-E-I, SSIG, and fanhands.com. Because if you're a sports fan and you don't have fan hands, well, then you're really not enjoying the game the way that you should be. Make sure you get on that as soon as possible. Fanhands.com, they are open 24/7. That's the beauty of having them on the internet, as is Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com. So the pleasantries of all of the partners with Dan Satora Broadcast Media are here, and now we move to the fan line, 315-5031-FAN. That's 315-503-1326. And I welcome back to the show longtime listener Jason from Maryland to talk about Syracuse's first win of the season in their first game. Season opener, home opener at the Carrier Dome. They go up against Cornell in the Interstate 81 battle, and a coach that I respect in Bill Courtney, and they get the victory. And now here to share with me some thoughts, Jason from Maryland. Jason, how you doing?
I'm good, Dan. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, sir, and happy to have you here on the show. And first and foremost, what are you thinking? Where do you want to start here? What was on your mind in this game?
Well, I actually, okay, well, first of all, we didn't have Jeremy Grant, so that's, I mean, that was a big loss. But the thing I liked about this game was they got behind. And I know that sounds really, really strange as a fan to say that, but they got behind, and they got behind by 12. And I think this team's going to need to be pushed early, and they will be. I mean, they've got Indiana, Minnesota, I think, you know, some other games, you know, to compete in such a high-level conference. They need to be pushed. So they were pushed in this game. And what I take away from it is when somebody pushes, they don't lay down. They push back. I mean, there was a 36-point swing in this game, or maybe it was 32. Point swing in this game where Cornell went from being up 12 to being down 22. So I guess it's a 34-point swing. But I thought, I thought the difference in the game in the second half, they came out, they were a totally different team. They were aggressive, they went to the glass, you know, they rebounded better, played much better defense on the guy that, I forget his name, but he killed us in the first half. He had 20 or something like that. They did a great job with that. And then, you know, what else can you say about Trevor Cooney? I mean, he was lights out the entire game. I mean, everything he did in that game was good. I mean, he passed well. He obviously shot like everyone expected him to shoot last year. But freshmen generally don't come in and shoot the lights out, so you know, I wasn't that disappointed in him last year. I expected him to step up this year, and this is his first game. And this is what Trevor Cooney was brought here for—to win games and hit open shots. And if he does that all year, we'll go far in the tournament for sure, because we've got a bona fide leader in CJ Fair, who you know had a kind of an off game for him tonight, and it was still, you know, if you look at the stat sheet, I'm sure he still stuffed it. So it was a good game for me, because I wanted to see them get pushed a little bit, and they did, and then they pushed back, and then they knocked them out. So it was a good win. Now we got to get ready and play Fordham.
Looking at what you had to say, Jason, here, starting off, the team, speaking on Syracuse and Cornell's highest lead was by 14 in the first half. Syracuse's biggest lead was 24, so 38-point swing. It ends up ending in favor of Syracuse by 22, 82, 260 in this game. So Syracuse definitely a different team in the second half. You brought up the gentleman on the Cornell Big Red team that played so well. He took more shots than anybody else. He was the only player to take double digits in shots. He made half of them, 8 for 16. Three of those were three-point shots, 4 for 5 at the line. Talking about Nolan Kressler, number 3 on the team. He had 23 points. The only person that did better than him was Trevor Cooney. 3 assists. He had 4 turnovers and 1 steal. So the turnovers hurt a little bit, and those coming in the second half. But Nolan Kressler definitely did a good job for the Cornell Big Red, definitely showed who their guy is when they need to trust in somebody. Few other guys did okay, but really the offense went through Nolan Kressler, who had a very strong night. The team going into the break about 50% from three-point range, just shooting very, very well from three-point. You have to give them credit for that. They were just about 44% and just under 45% overall from the field in the first half, and they were 100% from the line. So Cornell definitely started out strong. They made 7 threes to start the game. They made 7 of 16 and then went 3 for 16 in the second half. So you see that effect. The reason why I bring it up is the fact that most of the teams that Syracuse plays in the early part of their season that they're expected to beat are teams that typically try to beat Syracuse by jacking up a bunch of threes and hoping that the majority of them fall. In certain cases, like a Cleveland State team, they do fall. In the case of Vermont in the tournament, NCAA tournament, they fall. For Cornell, they fall. But what typically happens with teams that play up against Syracuse to try to beat them with the three is that they're only good for a half. And typically, it's the first half where a team will get hot. You see games where Syracuse loses when a team like Villanova has played Syracuse and turned on as the game has progressed. That's where Syracuse has trouble, when teams shoot well from three-point range later on in the game. And that just wasn't the case against Cornell. That was almost 30% lower in the second half. You also brought up, speaking with Jason here on the fan line, 315-5031-FAN, 315-503-1326. You brought up Trevor Cooney, a guy that I believed in from the beginning. I liked his film. I liked what he could do. I likened his shot to, from what I saw in his high school tape a couple years ago, I likened his shot, his release, to a Jimmer Fredette. It was a very quick release, a guy that can make a shot pretty much wherever he was from long range, that was able to get the ball out quick. But I also saw him go inside, and I said, you know, this guy can play inside. He's just needs to get a little bit stronger. I thought at times in the film that I saw that he was a little bit soft, and I think he improved on that when he came to Syracuse. Then Trevor Cooney comes into this game. He gets a dunk in transition. He's getting after the ball. He's getting steals. He had 4 of them, 7 for 8 from three-point range. He hit them whenever Syracuse needed them, 10 of 12 overall on the night. The man was disgustingly good, had 3 rebounds all on the defensive end, only had 2 fouls, had 2 assists to go with his 4 steals, and no turnovers. That's the big thing here. Yes, the 27 points are pretty. Yes, 7 for 8 from 3-point is pretty. But the man had 0 turnovers in the game, which says a lot about his play. C.J. Fair had 7 turnovers of Syracuse's 14, had half of them. So Trevor Cooney defensively, and Jim Boeheim said after the game, and if you missed it, you can check it out on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. You could check out the Syracuse Cornell postgame from Jim Boeheim. He made the statement that Trevor Cooney sat last year not because of his defense, but because of his offense. He was somebody that Boeheim just didn't think was ready to go out there offensively, but defensively, he trusted him. And in this game, Trevor Cooney not only was hitting shots to help bring the team back in the first half when they went down by 6 at halftime, he wasn't only good for that, he was good in the second half of getting his hand in, tipping passes, getting out in transition, getting that assist that he had to Michael Benajay when he saw that the guy was in front of him. And Trevor could have forced a shot, but that's where you see growth in a player. Instead of forcing the shot, he went down the lane, he thought about it, he figured the guy was going to go to him, and that he had faked the guy enough. Guy jumped up in the air, he bounced, passes the ball to Michael Benajay, who comes in and gets the lay-in off the glass. So I think Trevor did a lot of good things in this game. Obviously, we know he can hit from long range, but I think fans in this game got to see that he can rebound. He can get assists. He's out there on the defensive end knocking the ball around. So I give Trevor a lot of credit for the work that he's done. Even some of the rebounds or saves that he didn't get, he was one of the first guys over there after the ball, that if his teammate wouldn't have gotten it, he was right there for it. So Trevor Cooney, just superb in this game against Cornell. They needed him. You take away 27 points, and all of a sudden it's a Syracuse 5-point loss. So that tells you what Trevor Cooney was to the team. You talked about C.J. Fair, Jason, and a guy that you like from the Maryland area, and you talked about him not having his best game, which is absolutely true. I think that this is potentially his worst performance when it comes to turning the ball over in his history in college with 7 turnovers. I don't believe he's ever had 7 turnovers in a game. He did have 3 assists, did have a steal in the game, only had 3 rebounds, which is uncharacteristic of C.J. Fair. When they had that last game, when they were getting, well, when they had the game against Holy Family, I should say, he had 9 rebounds. Granted, it was an exhibition game, but still, this is a guy that you expect to get out there on the glass. Had 2 offensive rebounds, 1 defensive rebound, so expect more out of him there. He had 3 personal fouls. 2 of them were called on the offensive end, something he's going to have to watch, but he was able to calm down after that. 6 of 7 from the charity stripe, only took 3 threes, only made 1 of them, but 6 for 11, still finished with 19 points, and that's exactly what you were saying, Jason, speaking with Jason from Maryland here on the fan line, 315-5031-FAN. That's 315-503-1326. When you said, even though this wasn't the best C.J. Fair game, I'm sure he padded his statistics. And he did exactly that. The man finishes with the 2nd most points for Syracuse, despite having somewhat of a struggling night. And then you said seeing Syracuse get pushed to see how this team responds. And I think that they responded very well. What I liked about it and what stuck out to me, and maybe a guy that you want to dive in here and talk with me about, and I would definitely entertain that, is Michael Benege, who came in as the backup point guard. He played 8 minutes less than Tyler Ennis, had 20 minutes in the game, so he played half the game. And Michael Benege really did a lot of work out there, and Jim Boeheim was satisfied with the work that he had put out there in the game against Cornell, and I think he was a big help to Syracuse and getting them back on the right side of things. Obviously Trevor Cooney was, but this is just a team that was flying around and getting after the ball. Whatever Jim Boeheim said at the break, I would think had something to do with defense, because defense definitely turned on in the second half. So that's my response to what you've had to say so far, and I've obviously open to entertaining what's on your mind now, Jason.
Well, I tweeted this while I was watching the game. I wanted to say this. We definitely have a legendary Hall of Fame coach. We came out flat without our 2nd best player and pretty much got dominated by a hot shooting team in the first half. So we get, you know, and we left, we did not play great defense in the first half. They hit some tough shots, but they also hit open shots where we were lax in our rotations. He went in at halftime. I'm sure things got said that I can't say on the show, but the bottom line is the emphasis was on defense in the second half, making sure you close out, rebound the ball, you know, and they came out so opposite of what they did in the first half. They came out with like a laser focus. I think that they were flat when the game started, and Cornell jumped on them. And when the second half came, you know, they were focused, and they jumped right back on Cornell and just ran them out of the gym. And you mentioned Michael Benege, and I've been kind of a critic of his, and I got to say, he looked good to me tonight. I mean, he looked smooth. He made good passes, smart decisions, and I absolutely love him at the top of the zone. The zone, when you have, if you put Benege, Cooney, Christmas, Grant, and CJ in a lineup, that's the zone would be stifling. Or if you put Rock you take out CJ or Grant, one of the two, and put Rock on the wing, and put Bye in the middle. The defense is going to be so. I mean, it's just going to be. These ACC teams don't know what they're in for. They have absolutely no clue, because the team. I just think they're going to get better defensively. He has so much talent on this team, and so many options. If they need to go defense, I mean, Baikita brings so much energy to this team. He's the most underrated guy on the team, in my opinion. That putback dunk, you know, it was amazing. And one other thing I wanted to mention, shout out to the crowd, man. They did a hell of a job. There was 24,000 plus there for that game against Cornell, and they were loud. And, you know, I think that says something about Syracuse basketball and the direction it's going, is that, you know, we're getting 24,000 for Cornell, you know, and it was loud, man. I was listening on TV, and I was like, this is Cornell we're playing. Wait till Duke gets in here. You know, so I wanted to give a shout-out to the crowd, because sometimes those games in the early season, it's kind of like, you know, they're kind of drab, but they were live, man. It was fun to see Cooney get hot and see the student section go crazy, and it was a great night in the Dome, man. And Benajay, I like him. I like his height. I like his length. I like the fact that he's proving to be a capable ball handler, and he fits very well at the top of the zone if you need to take Tyler Ennis out. So I feel, you know, really comfortable. I'm starting to feel more comfortable with that idea. And so I guess my real only disappointment, and I know you love this guy, Dan, but is Coleman. He had one move, but tonight where he scored, but he dribbled the ball. I mean, he dribbled the ball again. It's like when they play these small teams, I expect him to like do more than he's doing, and he just doesn't. And the thing that scares me is we're getting so many high quality recruits coming in that are big guys. I don't know if he even stays here for 4 years.
Well, you bring up an interesting point with Daywan Coleman, and you know, I can't see him leaving the program, you know, if that's something that you're bringing up here. But at the same time, you know, you are talking about talent and you're talking about ability, and I think that, you know, if you had to put my feet to the fire right now and you said, Dan, if you were Jim Boeheim and you had to play one center, and you literally had to play one guy and you couldn't play anybody else, who would you play and why? It would be Baikita. Reason being, he's absolutely an energy guy. He gets after it on offense. He gets after it on defense. This is a man who, it still stuns me that I'm having conversations with people that tell me that Baikita cannot catch the ball and that Syracuse sucked in a game because Baikita didn't catch the ball, when Baikita and his catching of the ball and attacking the rim is what had Syracuse avenge their loss to Georgetown, probably the biggest deflating loss ever in their history against Georgetown. To come back and beat them in the Big East tournament, the last time that they'll ever play them as Big East foes, that had a lot to do with Baikita in regulation and in overtime. And so when it comes to Baikita, this is a guy that 2 seasons ago in practice had his hand taped up and he was making free throws. And I said, wow, this guy could shoot free throws and he's a big man, which caught my attention because very few big men can really make free throws. So I thought, okay.
Very few Syracuse players, really, Dan.
Right. So, you know, I'm watching this guy and I'm saying, okay, I've seen Billy Seelig, I've seen Craig Forth, I've seen Jeremy McNeil, I've seen Orenze Onuwaku, I've seen Rick Jackson. Now I'm watching Baikita, and gosh darn it, the man can make free throws. So that was a couple seasons ago when he wasn't playing hardly at all. Then I said to myself, last season, okay, he wants to get a little bit more involved on the offense. Michael Carter-Williams feeding him, Brandon Trish feeding him, CJ Fair feeding him, and he's doing a lot. He's getting after it, putbacks, getting there on the defensive end, and I said, okay, you know, he's more of a complete player now, but he could still improve a little bit. Then, in front of my face against Cornell, I was right behind that basket a couple rows, and here comes Michael Benajay down the lane, misses a layup because I think he's still not confident at the rim like he should be, and Michael Benajay comes to the rim, he misses the shot, and literally, out of nowhere, Baikita jumps up and not only jams the ball in a putback, but bends his knees up in the air and looks like a point guard. He looked like a little guy. He had scrunched himself up so much as he hung over Michael Beneje, who I think had no idea that Baikita was going to be there. And I talked to Bai about it, and you can't miss it, coming up here in the show, Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. That'll be coming up very soon. Baikita and I talking about his play and what he's done. I mean, this is a guy who really has pumped up the crowd. He had a lot to do with the crowd getting involved. They love him. They cheered him like crazy when they were getting ready for this season with him coming onto the court. And I have to agree with you. Being, you know, you said watching it on television, and I always wonder what it's like when people are watching the games in the Dome on television and how it sounds right now. I mean, obviously, I've grown up. I've always kept track of what Syracuse is doing. This is my hometown, so I've always been watching, and I've seen a lot of the games on television. But now being inside, I always wonder how it translates, because the fans were like that. It was a loud, loud dome. People were very energized. Trevor Cooney, with every three that he made, got people louder and louder and more apt to leave their seat. They loved him. They loved his dunk. They loved everything that he was doing. They loved him so much against Cornell that when he was open on the wing, they were getting ready, that feeling where people start to raise up their voice. He didn't even have the ball, and there was this expectation that if he catches it, oh my God, he's going to make it. And there were drives that Syracuse came down, he never got the ball, but you heard that, and people were just getting very, very involved. They started cheering behind me, Trevor Cooney. The student section was doing the whole Trevor Cooney. So that's something that was going on. They were cheering for Nolan Hart to come in specifically toward the end of the game. And I know his father, Jim Hart, who does a lot of good work with an AAU team that's found national recognition with the Albany City Rocks, who have had many Syracuse players on that squad, including Daywan Coleman, who you brought up. So, and I'll talk about him in a second here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on Wake Up Call DT.com. So the fans were very, very involved. I will say that I guess when I think about tacos from Taco Bell, I know people like free stuff. And ever since I was a kid, if you went to the Dome and you flipped your ticket over, it would say, you know, show this coupon or show your ticket, you get a dollar off your coffee, you get a free donut at Dunkin' Donuts. Or, you know, and then it started to be Taco Bell. And growing up, I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. And then I'd get really mad that I never went to Dunkin' Donuts within 24 hours, so I didn't even get to use it. But these fans are so obsessed, in a good way, not in a bad way, not obsessed in a, you know, your furniture looks great from the front lawn, not that type of obsessed. The obsessed that makes you feel, you know, you could feel the fans, you could feel their energy. Because if Syracuse hits 75 points, they get a free taco. And, you know, here's the thing. If anybody's ever been to Taco Bell on Erie Boulevard in Syracuse, I don't know what it is. It's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle, where just once you get there, it doesn't make any sense. You can see it. You can drive around it. But once you get there, you kind of lose all sense of reality because it's always busy, no matter what time it is. It could be 10 p.m., 11 p.m., 12 a.m., 1 a.m., and there's usually 14 cars that are wrapped around. And thank goodness that they kind of have this skeleton area around it where there's this wide-open parking lot. But when you think, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll go for some Taco Bell tonight. So did 26 other people. 26 other people said, I want Taco Bell right now. It's like a dog whistle. I say, Taco Bell. My fiance says, sure, why not? And then everybody hears like this low, and everybody's out there. Everybody's at Taco Bell. It's crazy. And so, you know, I can only imagine what free tacos look like after a Syracuse victory where 75 points are scored. But, you know, it's just one example about how fans get involved. To see 20,000 plus is crazy. Here's a statistic that'll freak people out and make you kind of go, holy crap, if you never thought of this before. The announced attendance was 24,788 for Syracuse versus Cornell in the Dome for the first game of the season, mind you, with an unranked team that Syracuse is playing. Okay. That being said, I was at the Elite Eight in the Verizon Center in our nation's capital of Washington, D.C., and they sold out at 19,000 plus. So, just saying, and the Sweet 16 as well that President Obama was at. Sweet 16, Elite Eight, 19,000 plus sells it out. Syracuse had 20,000 plus for their season home opener against Cornell, unranked, not in the top 25, not in the ACC tournament, not in the NCAA tournament. So I'm just saying, numbers-wise, I'm just putting it up. Do with it what you must. I'm kind of doing a little Boeheim here saying, here are the numbers. Play with them however you want to. But Elite Eight sells out at 19-whatever. And Syracuse is not sold out saying, yeah, we got 24,000 people at our season opener against Cornell. No big deal. No big deal.
It was funny, Dan. On TV, they actually mentioned it. The ACC announcers, they were like, this is pretty impressive to get this. I mean, because the crowd was so loud, and they were like, you wouldn't expect a crowd to be so loud for Cornell, but Boeheim said to them, I guess, that they'd sold more season tickets this year than ever before, so apparently, I mean, everybody's excited about this team, and I mean, I was shocked that there was 24,000 there, and then when I heard how loud they were, I was really impressed, because a lot of people, especially during football season, and I can't really argue with them, you know, get on our fans because they leave early or they, you know, they don't show up at all. So, I mean, you get on them then. You got to give them credit when credit's due, and they were great tonight. I mean, unbelievable against Cornell, which it just says a lot about our fans.
It definitely says a lot about Syracuse's fans. I will absolutely agree with you for that. When they played Holy Family in their exhibition game, there was 8,000 plus, and the Dome was literally rocking. I mean, it was loud, and I thought 8,000 people make it this loud, and then 24,000 plus are there for the game against Cornell, and you look at that, three times as many people as opposed to the week before the Cornell game. Holy Family times three is what you get at the Cornell game. And then you think of Duke, which sold out in, I think, 2 days.
Oh, I can't wait, man.
Where, you know, that game. And it's been said before that, you know, people don't want to put the court in the middle and it's going to mess things up. Let me just be honest, okay? Let me just be honest. Because, well, you know, what about obstruction of view? And what about the people that spend so much money? Let me say something about rich people, okay? Let me just have at it, okay? I did on the other Wake Up Call with Dan Satora show. I had at it about bullying. So I'm having at it now. This is an extension of the annoying moment of the week. So do with it what you must. But this is what I have to say. To everybody saying, hey, wait a second. It won't be as intimate, because if it's in the middle, then where are you going to put all of the courtside seats? Here's a thought. You put them courtside. You put them where they are before. And if you talk to a rich person and you say, hello, fella and ma'am, it costs $10,000 for your seats. We would like to charge you an extra $100 for the Duke game. You know what they did? They burped that 5 minutes before with their chili dog. That's what they did. They burped that $100. They do not care. It doesn't matter to them. It's not a big deal. Here's the thing. Syracuse pulling in 20,000 plus for Cornell. Think about all of the other games that Syracuse is going to have in the Dome. Namely, think about Duke. My number in my head, 50K. That's my number. That's my thought. 50,000 people in the Dome doesn't make any sense if people can't see the game. Now, granted, they will show up, because they have before. Trust me, I was there for the Villanova record, that not the 34,616, the record before that. I was there for the Rutgers record that happened before that, and I was there most recently for the Georgetown record, 35,018. So, in saying that, I have a true belief, and I don't have any numbers in front of me, I don't have anything to specifically factually quote me, I'm just telling you, I see 50,000 in my head, and I know that people will show up, but seriously, think about it. You put the dome in the middle. Think about, okay, the Georgia Dome is a prime example. The Georgia Dome, home of the Atlanta Falcons, had the Final Four. I was in press row behind press row. They had a press row, then they had a student section, then they had a big space where people get to walk, and then they had press row, and we were elevated, and we were, we had good seats, but we were still a distance away from the court. Here's the thing. When you have a huge game, you just make it work. I've said it before. Yeah. If you put me on the top of the friggin' Carrier Dome and you gave me credentials to go, I work hard for that. When I get to wear my company around my neck, that tells me something. That's a blessing from God. It's something I will always appreciate. So I don't care where I sit. For the people that complain and say, you know, people in the media, these seats are terrible. Guess what? They're free. Those seats are free. And you get to do what everybody, the thousands of people that are sitting in that dome, you know what they would like to do after the game? Talk to the players. Talk to Jim Boeheim. They don't get to. You do. So shut your mouth and enjoy it. Because I think that it's something that is a true value. So getting back to what I'm saying, we were put a little bit far behind. So that makes me think about, well, what would happen with the dome? What happens if they pushed press row back a little bit, or they pushed some of the fans back a little bit? Being in the dome, here's the thought. You can either have 50,000 people that can see the game in some way, shape, or form, or you can have 50,000 people, 35,000, whatever you want to call it, plus, that are going to have, with a lot of people having obstructed view, that are just there to be there. I saw people... Right. At the Georgia Dome, that were like three or four levels up, that literally look like peanuts. They look like little dots. They look like when a little kid lets go of a balloon and it goes to the top of the dome. That's what they look like. But they showed up, they paid their money, they watched the game just to be there. Just to be there in the dome. So my thing is, take the dome, put the court in the middle. I know you can do it because... They take up and they set up that court and take it down so fast, Jason. When a Syracuse game ends for basketball, if they have a football game there the next day, or they have something going on there, within the 2 hours that I'm sitting there typing, that court is gone, and it's like there was never a game. So I know that they can do it.
I think I saw like a time lapse once where they showed. I think it was last week actually. They showed a time lapse between how they how fast it took them to remove the basketball court because we had the football game against Wake, and they had a exhibition the night before, I think it was. So yeah, I've seen that they do it quick.
Yeah, they definitely do. So I could see it happening, and I just think it needs to be done. And I don't think that any rich person that spent the total payment of your car that you just got, that you're leasing or whatever, to get tickets for the season, I don't think that they're going to balk if they have to pay a little bit more. And you know what? If they balk at it, then just give it to the highest bidder. Somebody's going to take the seats. You know, I'm a firm believer to pack the house because, I mean, that's what you need to do. I understand that people want luxury boxes and courtside seats, and I get that. I totally get that. I appreciate sitting close to the court, so that's something that I understand. But at the end of the day, I think if you want to really have your venue where people get to enjoy it, make it so everybody can see it and give them the opportunity. You saw what happened with Cornell, 20,000 plus, and that's saying a lot. So now as you move forward, I don't even think they got 20,000 plus always for like a St. John's game. So you see that happen, and now you're not even in the ACC. You're not even close to the ACC schedule. And as you move forward, you're going to have North Carolina and you're going to have Duke. There's going to be some pretty huge games that you're going to be housing in the dome. And those are games that I think they should at least entertain the thought to do something like that, to experience that. Because you're right, Jason. I mean, you heard the fans from the television, and I heard them right behind me and around me, and they were very loud, very energized, very excited. And when you're in a building like that, and it doesn't matter the team, when you're in a building and you see fans respond so positively, and they were really only negative once toward Cornell. I don't know if it came through the television, but they were calling
something
them
like Harvard rejects.
Yeah, Harvard rejects. So not something that I would support, not something that I'm happy with that people did. I mean, there's some negative things and some terrible things that fans have said before, and those aren't obviously the worst, but, you know, you got to hope that fans, you implore them to be adults. So, but besides that, there really wasn't any negativity. A lot of positivity. You would have thought that this was a playoff game. So the fans definitely were loud, and it's interesting to see that you and I kind of experienced the same type of thing, even though you were watching from miles away and I'm sitting right in the dome, that we both could hear what was going on and kind of get a feel for it. So I really do appreciate getting that side of it. And before I let you go, Jason, anything else that you want to say about Syracuse and moving forward?
Yeah, as an overall, picture to this game, I thought it was good that we played without Grant. I mean, just to show the guys that you can win even if one of your players gets sick or if one gets suspended for a game, even if it's your second best player or maybe even best player. I mean, Jeremy Grant to me is either the first or second best player on this team. And so to fall behind and then show the character that they did to come back and blow Cornell out, I thought was great. I really, really love the way Baikito plays. I said before, I think he's underrated. The thing I love about the kid is he doesn't need the ball in his hands to have a huge effect on games. I thought on our run to the Final Four last year, I thought he was huge with free throws and also with just rebounding and playing defense. I mean, he doesn't have to have the ball. He can dominate a game and never score a point, and that's, I mean, that's invaluable to a team like Syracuse. So I love Baikita. Thought he played a great game. And I also want to give some props to somebody that I don't even know if he scored. I think he maybe had 2 points. But I watched Terrence Roberson play, or Tyler. I keep calling him Terrence because there used to be a guy that played for Cal named Terrence. Tyler Roberson. And I really like what I see out of him. He sealed. He had there's 4 or 5, maybe even more than that, possessions where I watched him, where he sealed off his guy on the low block, and they could have passed it to him, and he could have probably gotten to the rack, but they didn't pass it to him. But I like the fact that he's already got that low post presence where he can get position. You know, he can come down and get position really fast and get in position and post up and take a smaller guy to the basket. They didn't take advantage of it, but just little things like that I noticed with these young guys, that step-back jumper B.J. Johnson had. I mean, that was a sweet move. You can see things in these freshmen, aside from Tyler Ennis, that in the future are going to pay huge dividends for Syracuse. I mean, B.J. Johnson, I think, is going to be great. You know, a solid player. Obviously, Tyler's going to be really, really good. He was highly thought of coming out of high school. Buss, I think, is going to take a little longer, to get more playing time, I think, probably. But I love where the team's going. I trust our head coach, and I just can't wait to see Jeremy come back and get rolling. I really like our out of conference schedule this year. That's another thing I wanted to mention. We have, I think we got Villanova and Indiana at the Dome. We have St. John's at the Garden, and then we go to Maui and possibly end up playing Minnesota. And if we win, I think we'll end up playing like Gonzaga. So I mean, that's probably the toughest out of schedule or out of conference schedule that we've played in years. So we will be prepared for the ACC. We'll probably have a couple of losses, which I can live with, because at the end of the year, I think those losses in the long run make you better. But I like the way this season's set up. I'm just ready to rock, man. I can't wait till they play Fordham on Tuesday, and I get to watch my boy Jeremy Grant do work. It's funny, the two guys from the two guys from Maryland are the two best players on the team out in a team's upstate New York, you know, Syracuse, upstate New York. That's kind of funny.
Well, you know, the talent can come from anywhere, and once that and the thing is, you know, talent is talent, but talent has to be able to play the game, and you definitely had some good people come out of the Baltimore area and go to the Baltimore area, so congratulations for your little pool of positivity that you have out there in Maryland. Something's in the water, Jason, but I had promised that I would give my thoughts on Daywon, and I need to do that. He was one of two in this game, didn't make a free throw, he missed them both. He had four rebounds, two offense, two defense, finished with 2 points, didn't have any turnovers, didn't have any blocks, had one steal. And it was a quiet night.
How many minutes did he play?
It was a very quiet night. He played 11 minutes. So in 11 minutes, you have not much going on. 11 minutes, 2 points, one foul, four rebounds, one steal. That was Daywon Coleman in the game against Cornell. And he does need to do more. And I think he knows that. The thing with Daywon is this. Okay, if you look at him, and this is where you have to say that there is juxtaposition between what he looks like and how he plays. What he looks like a dominating force. He looks like someone you would never want to meet in an alleyway. He's a big dude, and he's just somebody that he came in strong. He came in just ready to play. And as Boeheim said when Daywon Coleman came in, he said he might be the most physically prepared player that he's seen in a long time, at least, to come into Syracuse the way that he was. Because normally centers come in, they're a little bit flabby, a little bit, you know, chunky in certain areas, or flabby, so to speak, and you have to build that muscle. But Daywon came in with muscle. He seems like he got stronger and leaner. But the issue is what he does with that. Is that he's not attacking. He should be a dominating force. Now, this is a team where, you know, they look to C.J. Fair and say, C.J., hit this jumper. And they look to Trevor, especially when he's having a night that's he had against, you know, Cornell, when he has the hot hand, and they're looking to Trevor Cooney. But they're not a team. Syracuse is not a team right now that comes down and says, okay, we're going to feed our big man, let him go. There was a couple feeds to Rakeem Christmas, who was fighting to get the ball in there, and he did some good things with it. Finished the game with 12 points and did a good job. Was 4 of 5 at the line, 4 of 5 inside for Syracuse. Had a couple dunks with that. He also had 2 offensive rebounds, 2 defensive rebounds, had an assist, had a block, had a steal, no turnovers. He was my runner-up for the game ball that I gave away to Trevor Cooney, like I could give it to anybody else. So, but, you know, Rakeem Christmas, he did a good job. He looked energetic. He looked like he cared. And that's something right. that you don't always see. You know, I've said it before, and to be honest, where Rakeem Christmas plays a half a game, he goes halfway. And in this game, I think, you know, when it came to the second half, he was really strong at it. He could have done more in the second half. Absolutely, the entire Syracuse team outside of Trevor Cooney could have. But when you look at the big picture, Rakeem Christmas had a good game. Daywon Coleman is one of those guys where you can understand why he's not out there as much. You know, you look at all of the starters, and every single starter that Syracuse had 20 or more minutes out there except for Daywon Coleman. And that says a lot. You know, Baikita is a guy who's going out there, and the man has, you know, he goes out and in 16 minutes, he does a lot more. He gets 7 rebounds. Yeah, he only has 2 points like Daywon Coleman, but 7 rebounds, gets an assist, gets a block, and he's a lot more active. And the only make that he had out of the 2 attempts that he took was that putback dunk that a lot of players attributed to getting the team going by getting the crowd going and helping them to really feel that momentum shift. So it was a very important play. So if you're going to make any shot, may it be the shot that, you know, in certain respects changed the game for Syracuse and brought that vibration back, kind of shook the dome a little bit and said, all right, guys, we've got to get going. So, you know, by key to doing more with less, so to speak. And Daywon Coleman, the one thing with Daywon, it's not just with him, it's a note with any big man. It's a note with anybody that catches the ball underneath. When you get the ball, and this is what Mike Hopkins was teaching when he had these guys in practice, and I was watching practice. They were fed the ball, and their job was to get to the rim. They were close enough. They were in the paint, but they're fed the ball, and it's turn around, make a move, get up there, not put the ball on the ground. And Daywon Coleman and Rakeem Christmas, now granted they got fouled, they made the shot. This is the issue, though. This is the problem. When you get the ball, you get an offensive rebound, you're looking at the basket, you grab the rebound. Now, if you can't put it back right away, you grab it and you come down, make a little pump fake or whatever, you go back up, at worst you get yourself fouled, but you go to make the shot. Rakeem Christmas and Daywon Coleman, both in the game against Cornell, got an offensive rebound, put the ball on the ground, looked down at the ball, dribbled it once, and then tried to go back up. That time period, that two-second split, or even less than that, could be the difference between 2 points or 0 points. So that's something that I would definitely like to say needs to be changed if there's a note to make on Daywon Coleman and Rakeem Christmas. When Baikita goes after a rebound, he touches that ball to tip it right back in, or he's dunking the ball.
Right.
He knows well enough, if I'm going to put my hands on the ball after a miss, I'm going to keep it in the air. Daywon and Rakeem want to put it on the ground first, and then want to go up, and that's something that is a very dangerous, because it takes away that second of time that is so valuable to get that quick shot and have a higher percentage opportunity of making it. So I will say that note on what's going on with Syracuse as they move forward for Rakeem Christmas and Daywon Coleman. You brought up Tyler Roberson and B.J. Johnson. B.J. surprised me. He's a smaller kid, smaller frame, so to speak, has to build some muscle. But he went out there and he attacked, and I give him credit for that. 3 of 5, including a 3 that he made. He had an offensive rebound. He had two blocks, in the game. So I give a lot of credit to B.J. Johnson, who had a good second half, and Tyler Roberson, who dropped down 2 of his shots and had some good looks, even though he didn't make them all. But Roberson definitely, he likes that mid-range jumper, and I give him credit. He had 4 defensive rebounds. He was taking second-chance opportunities away from the Cornell team that had so many of them in the first half. So I definitely think the youth showed me more than I expected. I think Michael Benajay played better. I think Trevor Cooney was in his element, which is good to see because I knew he had it in him. Man is crazy when he's good. He shocked me a little bit, though. I will give him that. C.J. Fair on a bad night still looks good. Rakeem, I was going to say C.J. Fair on a bad night still looks sexy, just to kind of, you know, mix it up and give a different word. But then I thought people might be thinking, all right, Dan, okay, I see where you're going. So, you know, I could say what I want. It's my show. You don't like the word sexy? Well, then, you know, bleep it out. I'll figure it out. You know, turn your volume down when I say sexy. But Rakeem Christmas and Daywon Coleman, some notes for the future. Rock had a good night, though. I saw him give a lot of effort. So that's kind of my take up and down the line. And Ron Patterson, who you brought up, Jason, speaking with Jason on the fan line. That's 315-5031-FAN. 315-503-1326. I agree. Ron Patterson is going to take some time. Had no rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks. He only played in 6 minutes. Didn't get a lot of time. He was in there at the end of the game with Albert Nasser, Rush Dereamer, and Nolan Hart. He only took 2 shots. He made one of them. He had 2 points on the night. So think about it that way. In 6 minutes, he had as many points as Daywon Coleman. That should say something to Coleman. And Ron Patterson is one of those guys that he's fearless. He can be fearless in taking the shot, but he is not the type of passer that you want the ball to be in the hands of when the game is on the line. So Ron Patterson has some work in there, Jekyll and Hyde-ing it right now. B.J. Johnson, Tyler Roberson didn't look too bad in adding some points and keeping Syracuse rolling later on, especially B.J. Johnson. So that's what the Syracuse-Cornell game looked like. Jason, as always, I appreciate having you on the show and could pretty much just have you on the fan line and that could be the show. You know what, folks? We're not going to play no Syracuse interviews. None of my exclusives. We're done. We're not playing any of them. No, I'm just kidding. They'll be here after the break on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on Wake Up Call DT.com. Very excited for Michael Benajay to join the show, Rakeem Christmas, Tyler Ennis, of course, Mr. Trevor Cooney and Bai Keita will all be joining me exclusively one-on-one conversations. Not before I say this, Jason, thank you so much for calling into the show. As always, I appreciate it.
Absolutely, brother. It was a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully I get to talk to you again Tuesday after a big win.
And Jason, I can tell you this, and we know it's an inside joke between something that happened before you got on the line here, but I can say this to you in all honesty, and you'll appreciate it, and so will I. This conversation was being recorded.
All right, my man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother, be good, and I'll talk to you in just a little bit. Take care of yourself and feel better.
All right, man.
Once again, that's longtime listener Jason from Maryland on the fan line, giving me a call at 315-5031-FAN. That's 315-503-1326. And if you want to get on that line, make sure you call in 2 hours after every home game. Whenever the game ends, if the game ends at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m., let's say, at 11 p.m., the fan line will open. So 2 hours after whenever it ends. Ends at 7, fan line's at 9. Ends at 9, fan line's at 11. And ends at 3:30, fan line's 5:30. So just keep that in mind. It's on the homepage of wakeupcalldt.com, right at the top where you can become a member for free. It says the fan line time right there, 2 hours after every Syracuse football and men's basketball home game. And after the away games, the line is open as well. So make sure you keep that in mind. For home games, 2 hours after, and for away games, it will also be open. So make sure that you get on the line, 315-5031-FAN, every time it opens, and give me your thoughts, just as Jason from Maryland has done for years, and I truly appreciate it. We'll take a quick step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. When I come back, it'll be time for all of those Syracuse Orange men's basketball exclusives, my one-on-ones with the team, right after these messages, only on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com, where sports meets life.
Come out to Pole Position Raceway, the premier indoor electric karting experience. Open 7 days a week, their quarter-mile-long European-style track, located on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, is home to the fastest electric karts in North America, with speeds up to 45 miles per hour. Arrive and drive any day, Monday through Sunday. Pole Position Raceway is also available for group events. From kids' birthday parties to corporate events, they will provide an authentic, exhilarating, and safe racing experience your guests will never forget. For more information, visit polepositionraceway.com or stop in today on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. Pole Position Raceway, built by racers for racers.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelange, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Rack 'em up for the perfect sport to play in any weather. Salt City Billiards in North Syracuse, located on Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81, has been the home of a dozen pool tables featuring some of your best shots and memories for years. Cue it up at Salt City Billiards any day of the week. And make sure you're there with me, Dan Tatora, for on-call nights every single Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m., where you'll rack them up as many times as you want with 2 hours of pool play for just $5. Also, Bud and Bud Light specials, and we can talk about sports. That's on-call nights Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. at Salt City Billiards, where you can grab a drink, get something to eat, and dive into the pool no matter what the season. Salt City Billiards, minutes from Interstate 81 on Brewerton Road in North Syracuse.
Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. all that you need right here. Make sure you never miss out on an exclusive or anything going on. Easiest way to do it is to become a member for free on the homepage of wakeupcalldt.com. It literally says become a member free right at the top of the homepage. Doesn't get a lot easier than that. So all you have to do is just click on that, fill out a couple things, just a name and whatnot, and there you are. You're in to all of the exclusive information, all the stories that I write, the updates that I have, and of course, you get a special newsletter that comes to you every month. So you don't want to miss out on that opportunity. WakeUpCallDT.com. Getting the information that you need and not having to pay a dime for it. Because I believe that when it comes to the information that I could provide for you, that you're the consumer, you're someone looking for that information, and you should be able to get it. And when it comes to originality, honesty, integrity, a little bit of comedy, this is the place to be at. WakeUpCallDT.com. I thank everyone that's been loyal over the years, and I look forward for all of the new listeners that I have and new readers that I have to continue to build that relationship with you and to get to know you as well, which we can do on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt at any time, and on Twitter @calldt. That's CALLDT, and that's the way to get to me 24/7. So thank you so much for all that you do, and you can also get to me on the 24/7 talk forums on wakeupcalldt.com if you're a member. As I promised you before the break, one-on-one exclusives, my interviews with the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team, starting off with point guard Michael Beniget, the backup point guard coming off the bench, playing in 20 minutes of the game that Syracuse had up against Cornell, was 2 of 3, making one of his three-point shots later on in the game, 1 of 2 at the line, had 2 rebounds, 1 on offense, 1 on defense, 6 total points altogether, 5 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers, and a block. So even though it's not a high-scoring night for Michael Beniget, he's doing a good job across the board. Jim Boeheim said in his press conference after the game, which you can see by going to youtube.com/wakeupcalldt, that he was pleased with the efforts of Michael Beniget. And now I have the opportunity to bring our conversation to you. And first and foremost, saying to Michael that Jim Boeheim was happy with his efforts. What did he think about his performance in his first ever game that counts with Syracuse?
I thought I performed really well. I'm starting to feel a whole lot more comfortable just playing again. I haven't set out the whole last year. I'm still trying to catch rhythm, and today I just felt like myself.
Even though you got to practice last season, like you just alluded to, the fact that you weren't playing, was it strange for you to kind of feel your way back in the games that you had, you know, leading up to this and the practice time that you had?
Yeah, it was strange. First game, had to knock a lot of rust off, and the second game I had to figure some things out, and it's still a process. I still got to do more things, but I'm starting to just feel more comfortable.
Having a guy like Trevor Cooney kind of bail you guys out right when you needed to, just go into what it was like to be out there and have somebody there that was actually going to help the team kind of bounce back.
He is such a great shooter. In my opinion, one of the greatest shooters in the country, and just having a guy that's always on the move, relocating from a guard's perspective, he's so easy to find because he moves so well without the ball, and he's kind of just a person that you can rely on when you're in trouble.
Does it ease your mind as the point guard when you have something like that?
It definitely does.
Big words for his teammate there, Michael Beniget, calling his fellow guard, Trevor Cooney, one of the best shooters in the country. Up next here is a man who may not always show up high when it comes in the stat sheet for points. May not be that high offensive number that some people are hoping for and looking for and expecting, but I challenge those people for what this man does all throughout the court in effort. One of the guys that comes to mind is Christophe Anjanot, who never really showed up on the stat sheet, but went after many loose balls, just put his body on the line, diving, going after it. He was the reason why Syracuse had some possessions that they wouldn't have had without him. Baikita, better than that, and even though he doesn't always show up in the stat sheet with a high number performance, the man makes his shots count. He makes his attempts count. And I think this one, looking outside of the Big East tournament win over the Georgetown Hoyas to avenge the loss that they had to end their season last season, I think it is pretty safe to say this is one of the best plays of his career, a big momentum booster, and a lot of his teammates were talking about what this meant to them by Keita with a dunk over Michael Beneger and looked like a point guard the way that he dunked the ball, just had this dunk over Michael Beneger's missed layup in transition and just brought his knees up and looked a whole lot smaller. It was crazy to see that a center can be that flexible, and people say that the man doesn't have good hands. I've thought that that's wrong for a while, but he'll talk about it here. We had a good conversation one-on-one starting off with that play when I said to him that it didn't even look like Michael Beneger knew that he was coming. And this is what Keita had to say on the play that truly helped spark not only Syracuse's team, but the fans as well.
You know, I think at that moment we had the momentum and we needed to pick up the energy a little bit. I think that putback really kind of put all of us on our feet and just to keep make us more aware of the situation.
As far as offensively, people have said before you didn't have the best hands, struggled catching the ball, but you've gotten progressively better from season to season. What can you say about what you've been trying to do in practice to get better on the offensive side?
People say they have a problem catching the ball. I think that was not a problem. That was just after my surgery, trying to get back and catching the ball, and was a little bit difficult. I think, I've been doing the same thing in practice since I've been here all 4 years. So I think it's a lot of change. Hop been doing a lot of drill with us as a big to help us, develop our offensive game.
What can you say about what Cornell was doing right in the first half when they were leading and had that big gain on you?
They were really moving the ball. They were really patient, and our defense, we were letting them get a lot of open shots. And the second half, I think we kind of stopped that and helped us. That really helped us a lot. We were talking and moving way, way better the second half than the first half.
Trevor Cooney, guy that kind of went off today more than any other day. What do you have to say about what his efforts did to kind of relax you guys a little bit?
He was knocking down the shots. First half, he put us in the game and, helped us with the lead. Second half, we just kept him passing the ball. And when he was open, he was knocking down the shot. I think that's what we needed to get, our momentum going.
How did the team respond to something like that? Did you guys say anything to him when he was getting hot?
We just looking for the open guys. Every time he was open, and we didn't care if he was missing it or making it, because we were going after on the glass too. So he put us into position to rebound.
By Keita bringing up the point that not only was Trevor Cooney making shots, but he was putting them in position to rebound, trusting him to take that shot so that they could focus on getting underneath in case they needed to get after the rebound, something that By Keita does well for the Orange. He was in second place, however, to a man by the name of Tyler Ennis. By Keita had 3 offensive, 4 defensive rebounds for a total of 7. Tyler Ennis, the true freshman point guard, had 8 rebounds, all on the defensive glass, and he's with me here now with this exclusive, Tyler Ennis, speaking on how he felt he performed in his first game for Syracuse that counts in the regular season as a true freshman. He had some experience up in Canada and obviously had a couple exhibitions, but in this game, to start things off for the games that count on your record, this is how Tyler Ennis responded to how he felt he performed.
I think I played well, other than scoring the ball. I think, there's some shots I usually make. But, I got to continue to be aggressive and, play, and do other things other than score and, get my teammates involved defensively. And, there's a lot of things I could do other than score, and I think that's got to keep working.
Your teammates have talked about the fact of the pass-first mentality. Is that how you see yourself right now?
Yeah, being a point guard, I like to get guys involved and make plays. So, if I have guys like Trevor seated as hot like they were today, I have no problem. I'm not scoring, I'm just going to continue to be aggressive and, take what the defense gives me.
Going to the first half and what Cornell did right that was kind of affecting you guys a little bit that you bounced back from?
Yeah, I mean, they were just making shots. I mean, I think they hit 7 threes in the first half alone. And, you know, a couple of the guys got hot. So we kind of just keyed in on them second half and closed out the shooters a little bit more. And, you know, defensively, I thought we were a lot better. So, you know, that kind of translated to offense for us in the second half.
Lastly, for me, Trevor Cooney, what can you say about what he does to kind of ease the offense when there's a night like tonight?
I mean, Trevor's a guy that we could rely on to make shots. I mean, he always gets to the open spots. He, you know, defensively, he was really well, really good in the second half and the first half. So, you know, we're just going to rely on him and, you know, have faith in him that he's going to continue to play like this.
Big words coming from the point guard that helped to feed Trevor Cooney the ball, stating the fact that he's going to have faith in him to continue to do this. First game of the season for Syracuse, and both guards stating the fact that they like the movement that Trevor Cooney has without the ball, and stating that he's not a hard guy to find. Michael Benajay and Tyler Ennis seeming to feel comfortable and have some trust and positivity toward Trevor Cooney, which says a lot about a man who is stepping up, needing to step up this season without the likes of Michael Carter-Williams as well as Brandon Trish. Keeping it going, Rakeem Christmas, who had experience with Trevor Cooney before and has had experience with Michael Carter-Williams, Brandon Trish, and all of those guys, but is now learning how to play the game with new point guards Michael Benajay and Tyler Ennis. This is what Rakeem Christmas had to say about his experience with the new point guards, but before that, what he thought about what he was able to do in the second half against Cornell, a defense that was making things somewhat difficult for Syracuse, an offense that was turning on and had the lead over Syracuse at the break, 38-32. Rakeem Christmas coming in the second half and attacking, getting inside, and sharing with me how important he felt it was to get inside and make things happen in the interior part of the Cornell defense.
Yeah, it was a good feeling to get in there. When we get the ball in the post, coach wants us to be aggressive, and that's what I was trying to do. And we just want to get back on defense and play our defense.
When you came out, the first play that happened in the second half, when you went in and you commanded that foul when you went up on the left side, how important was it for you to get points however you had to get them on that first possession?
It was very important. We came out slow, and coach wanted us to come out aggressive in the second half, so we had to turn it up, and that's what we did.
What can you say about Cornell and what they were doing right on you guys in the first half that you felt was a little bit difficult?
They were shooting a lot of threes. I mean, they made most of the threes in the beginning, so they were making a lot of threes, and when they were coming into the get into the lane, they were making all their mid-court jumps.
As far as the point guards that you have this season, Tyler Ennis, Michael Benajay, two totally different guys than you had before in your career here. What's it been like with them, and what have you seen from the two guys?
It's been great. Tyler's a look-to-pass first point guard, and Mike's the same. Mike's looking to find everyone, and if he has a shot, or either one has a shot, they're going to take it, so they're doing good right now.
Lastly for me, Trevor Cooney, what can you say about a guy that you've obviously had a lot of time here with that really just turned on tonight, like more than he has ever before?
Well, I'm happy for him. I play AU with Trevor. He's the reason, one of the reasons why I'm here, and I'm just happy that he had a good game. He does the same thing he does in practice, comes off screens and shoots three, so I was happy that he was making them, and I'm just happy that I'm here in general.
When you say he was one of the reasons why you're here, what do you mean by that?
He was one of the reasons that told me to take my visit here, and him and Mike started getting to me, and I did to my visit, and I fell in love with it.
Rakeem Christmas not only speaking positivity on Trevor Cooney, but also stating the fact that Trevor Cooney was one of the big reasons why Rakeem Christmas chose to come to Syracuse in the first place. So think about that. Not only being appreciative of the play of Trevor Cooney, but saying, hey, he did well on the court against Cornell, but guess what? I wouldn't be on the court with him if it wasn't for a guy like him to help me to get to Syracuse. So big words about Trevor Cooney, who now has the opportunity to share his words himself. The man fighting hard, someone that I believed in when he came in, that he had talent, that he was more than just a three-point shooter, and that this was a guy that eventually was going to be surrounded by the media, which he exactly was. I appreciate what Trevor Cooney has done as far as allowing me to speak with him through time and with everything that he's gone through, the hardships and the positives, this being, quite frankly, easily his best college night of his career so far, 27 points. He had 10 of 12 shooting overall, 7 of 8 from three-point range, 3 rebounds, all defensive, only 2 fouls, 2 assists, 4 steals, no turnovers. Trevor Cooney with a complete game, looking very strong in Syracuse's season and home opener in a season where they need him more than ever. Cooney started off strong, and he's here with me to talk about it one-on-one in this exclusive, how it felt to have a game like this to start the season.
It felt good. I worked really hard this summer and got my game prepared for this year, and it felt good to come out and make plays and make shots and in the end get the W, and it just felt great. It just felt really good to do that.
Obviously, people know you for making threes, but you got out in transition. Also, defensively, you've been strong. Just going to the all-around game and the fact that, you know, even in a game like today, you had no turnovers.
I really got into the flow early, and that's really good to do, especially being a shooter. And teammates found me in good spots, but I knew down the stretch it was going to come down to defense and getting stops. And if I was able to get my hand on a couple deflections and this and that, and it led to fast breaks, and that's what wins games, getting deflections and stuff like that. So I thought that me doing that was big tonight.
You're playing with different guards now, Michael Benajay, and also having a guy out there in Tyler Ennis. What can you say about both of them and the fact that they both kind of helped you out?
I thought they did a great job. When we were able to run the floor and they had the ball, they made the right decisions. And that's what I was telling Tyler during the game. I'm like, whatever decision you make is the right play. And he was able to make some big plays down the stretch.
What can you say about the team having this as a season opener? You guys were down by double digits. You come back and you win by 20-plus. What does it mean to you to have that type of win to start things off?
Normally you come out and you blow a team out early and this and that. But Cornell's a very good team. They came out ready to play, and we came out flat. And especially kind of being a young team this year, it was good for us to fight back, and it was a good learning experience for us. And I thought that was good for us.
You told me before that no matter how many times you take a shot and how many don't go in, to just keep shooting. You've always had that mentality, something's going to fall. Just go into that and the fact that it finally kind of turned out tonight.
Shoot. And the only way you're going to get into a good rhythm is getting up good shots, and when they start to fall, you get into a good rhythm, you have performances like that. But you can't let misses get to your head no matter what. You just got to keep playing hard and taking good shots.
Does it help you heal a little bit from what happened in the Final Four starting off like this?
Yeah. That was a tough loss for us, and to come out and get down early and this and that, but fight back, I thought it was great for us.
Once again, Trevor Cooney, the man of the season opener and the home opener for Syracuse. Dual there, regular season and home opener for 2013-2014. 27 points, having a strong night. He was followed by C.J. Fair with 19, Rakeem Christmas with 12, as I spoke about before. Top rebounder, Tyler Ennis, 8 rebounds, all on the defensive end, followed by Baikita, who was pretty even, 3 offensive, 4 defensive rebounds for a total of 7. Assist-wise, you have to give it up to Tyler Ennis with 7 assists, followed by his backup point guard, Michael Benajay, with 5. Between the two of them, they have 12. Strong performance there. C.J. Fair, although he struggled a little bit, made it look good at the end of it all. 6 of 11, 6 for 7, and also had 3 assists. The issue, the 7 turnovers, but Syracuse overcame those turnovers by C.J. Fair and 14 turnovers overall, and a strong shooting performance by Cornell to open up the game to come back. They were down 6, and they won the game by 22 with Trevor Cooney letting fans know this man can play some basketball, and I'm happy to see that he is doing that, because I believed that he was one of the players that could really do big things in his college career, and he is doing just that. I had a belief in him and Jeremy Grant coming in that they were just going to be those players that you could count on. And I said to myself, I said, when I go into the locker room and I talk to these guys and nobody's really paying them a lot of attention, they're going here and they're going there, I'm going to go talk to them. And I said, there's going to come a day where these guys are going to get bombarded because of how strong they play. They're going to get bombarded by the media, and everybody's going to want to talk to them. And Trevor Cooney had that experience, and I think that there's going to be more to come for Trevor Cooney and Jeremy Grant. So, gentlemen, if you're listening, just make sure you spend a couple minutes with me. Appreciate it. So thank you, as always, for listening in, everyone. The fan line, 315 5031 fan. That's 315-503-1326. Is always open after every Syracuse home game when it comes to football and men's basketball, 2 hours after. The game ends at 3 p.m. The fan lines open at 5. Game ends at 7. The fan lines open at 9. Those are all Eastern times, so make sure you have that down. Easy way to remember it. As soon as the game ends, 2 hours from now, I'm going to be talking with Dan. 315-5031-FAN. That's 315-503-1326. If you want to talk to me at any time outside of that, make sure you get me on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt. It's all one word, wake up call, no hyphens, no dashes, none of that. Wake up call, D as in Dan, T as in Thomas. You can also get me on Twitter at calldt, that's C-A-L-L and my initials, DT. Don't miss out on it. Thank you all for your support. I truly appreciate it. You heard from Pole Position Raceway, where you need to go. Whether you're living in Central New York or you're just coming in to visit for the weekend or whatever it may be, maybe you're a college student, you're a freshman, you don't know a lot about Syracuse and where to go, get over to Pole Position Raceway in Destiny, USA on the third floor. You cannot miss this opportunity. When I say exhilarating, I'm not, you just sit in the car, get out there, start cranking it up to almost 45. They could go up to 45 miles an hour. I say almost because I think I went to 33. I was like, you know what? First time out, let me relax a little bit on the throttle. Let me see what I could do here. But it is an experience unlike any other. You have to try it out. It's like going to an amusement park. And guess what? When it snows in Syracuse, you could still go to Pole Position Raceway. When it's too hot, you can go to Pole Position Raceway. And you're always going to have that Monday through Sunday. Can't miss out. Arrive and drive any day of the week. You can get an annual membership. You could bring your business there for team building. You can bring your troop there, your Girl Scouts there, your birthday party there, your bachelor party, bachelorette party. You don't want to miss out on this. Great memories. Think about that. Having a bachelor or bachelorette party and having somebody film all of you go around the track together. Be pretty fun. I might have to do that myself. It sounds pretty interesting. I'll have to think about that. I'm getting married soon, so make sure that you get them on your list. Get out there, go there. You got Christmas coming up, guess what? This is on your list. You need to do it. And you can also get one of your loved ones an annual membership on that Christmas list. It should be there. Pole Position Raceway can go there and race with the annual membership. Go whenever you want and enjoy yourself. Some exhilarating, safe, fun, and totally unique experience at Pole Position Raceway. I also want to put a special thanks out to Carvel DeWitt, who you heard from. The only place that you can get the Wake Up Call Sunday. Soft serve chocolate, vanilla, or a twist. Topped off with cookie dough pieces and caramel swirl. Whipped cream. You can have whipped cream. It's just without the R. Whipped cream or a cherry. And this cold, you know, it's got me down. You get a sinus infection, you start dropping letters. As long as I don't drop myself, that's a good thing. Whipped cream or a cherry on top of the Wake Up Call Sunday. When you walk into Carvel DeWitt, you'll see the poster right there with my mug on it. Little face there going on, and the Wake Up Call Sunday. You could see the ingredients there as well. So feel free to get out to Carvel and try the Wake Up Call Sunday. You will not regret it. They ran out of cookie dough within a two-week period. They ran out. They had to buy more. So for those of you out there grabbing that cookie dough and enjoying your Sundays, thank you. Wake Up Call Sunday, cookie dough pieces, caramel, all-around soft-serve ice cream, and you could get it with Carvel Light now, which is the phenomenal flavor of Carvel with less calories. How do you beat that? You don't. Carvel ice cream cake, there is no other ice cream cake. If you have an anniversary, a wedding, you're trying to get out of the doghouse, go to Carvel, be a hero, grab the cake for the kids, bring it home, say to the wife, you know what, you cleaned the house, you made everything look wonderful, and I have the cake. I took care of this. It's give and take in that marriage, folks. Make it happen. If the husband's cleaning the house and getting things ready and he's corralling the kids, then the wife's got to go out and grab that cake, all bringing it together, whatever you like, whether it's the cookie puss or Fudgy the Whale, or you want to design your own cake. They're fresh, handmade daily at Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, across from Tops. and they are open until 9 p.m. Eastern every single night, Monday through Sunday. Don't miss out on it. Get over there. We have live events there going on, and you don't want to miss out on those, so stay tuned to wakeupcalldt.com to find out when those are going on, and make sure that you are on site to be a part of it. You can't win any of the prizes unless you're on site during the live events at Carvel DeWitt. Thank you also to Salt City Billiards. Speaking of live events, starting on November 21st, hello people, the week before Thanksgiving, I will be starting on-call nights every single Thursday, outside of Thanksgiving, because you should be home with your family enjoying it and watching some football and relaxing. Every single Thursday, starting on November 21st, excluding Thanksgiving, you will have the opportunity to play 2 hours of pool. Now, get this. Get phenomenal right here. You get to play 2 hours of pool for $5. That's it. $5. When I go and I shoot pool and you got to put the quarters in, it costs you $1 per game. You could play 20 games. Depending on how fast you play, you could keep going. 2 hours of gameplay, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, only at Salt City Billiards, only on Thursday night for on-call nights. I will be on location at Salt City Billiards. We could talk sports. You could grab some food, get yourself something to drink, shoot pool with me, shoot pool with your buddies, your family members, whoever it may be, your fiance. Maybe you find a nice girl or you find a nice guy there, start talk with them, shoot some pool. Who knows? On-call nights, every Thursday, starting November 21st, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only at Salt City Billiards, Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81 in North Syracuse, right by Key Bank. Don't miss out on Salt City Billiards, especially on-call. They're open every day, open very late, but on-call nights happening every Thursday, 2 hours of pool play for $5, plus Bud and Bud Light specials from 7 to 9 p.m. every single Thursday starting November 21st, only at Salt City Billiards. More information, check out wakeupcalldt.com. And before I jump out of here, thank you to Drysick Apparel for making me look fancy when I go out to any event with my polo shirts featuring Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. I cannot thank Drysick Apparel enough for the professionalism, the speed in which they do things. They don't, it's not a difference between do you want speed or do you want quality. They do things on a great time management schedule, and the quality is phenomenal. So you don't have to wait long to get your product, and your product looks good when you get it. Wake Up Call with Dan Satora shirts, the t-shirts that we give away, male and female t-shirts, and for the female t-shirts, the pink t-shirts, the breast cancer awareness or breast cancer runs, you can use those for that as well. And also the Wake Up Call with Dan Satora hats, Wake Up Call personalized jerseys that we've had, the giveaway customized jersey that we had for March Madness a couple seasons ago that was won by Mike, who is right here in the Syracuse area. Whether it's for your business, for your team, or for the woman in your life, or for the ladies listening, if it's for you, and think about this, okay, and this is where I get jealous of women. You have lines of clothing that are created for you to be comfortable. It's called the Bamboo Line from DrySigLady.com. That's DrEissig Lady.com. You go there and get this, okay? DrySigLady.com has the Bamboo Line, which is a comfortable fitting line that will help you feel good. It's relaxed. Whether you're sitting on the couch, just taking a moment for yourself, or you're running around, these clothes move with you. You don't have to change. These clothes change as you go. They help you feel comfortable and relaxed, and they have the athletic line for every single woman out there. It's going and working out at the gym, going for a run, whatever she may be doing. These clothes are comfortable. This is where I find some jealousy here with you females, because you have the opportunity to feel good all the time from DrySigLady.com. So, you know, I'm comfortable enough in my sexuality. Maybe I get some Bamboo Line pants. I don't know. But just saying, for all the women out there, you want to feel good doing what you do. I appreciate everything you do. I was raised by phenomenal women, my two grandmothers and my mom. So I know that women deserve to feel good. DrySigLady.com, DreissigLady.com. IGLady.com. Get there now. And for all the athletic wear and also business, DreissigAthletic.com, DreissigAthletic.com. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make your business and make your team and for you ladies to look good at all times. I also want to put a special thanks out to FanHands.com, the number one fan accessory. You cannot go to a game for the team that you love and support without a pair of fan hands. They cost $10. There's 11 different colors. You find your team color. You order your fan hands. You can go onto the fan corner page of WakeUpCallDT.com and find out how buying a pair of fan hands can actually help the community as well. And it only costs you $10. You slip them in your pocket. When you need them, you bring them out. It's not like the foam finger that you got to lug around and think about all the bad memories that went on with Miley Cyrus. It's not about having a megaphone and thinking, where the heck am I going to put this? What if somebody steals it when I go to get something to drink? I can't keep it in between my legs because the seats are too close. You know what fan hands do? You slip them in your pocket. You need them, you take them out. You got your drink in your hand? You don't have to take your fan hands off. Take a sip, put the drink down, start clapping again. You're going to clap at the game no matter what. It's a universal thing that we do to show appreciation. Why not clap louder? Why not be louder? Why not be a bigger fan than you already are? When it comes to the top fans in the world, they have fan hands on. Because guess what? They want their team to know that they're there. And what better way to do it than being the loudest fans in the dome, in the stadium, on the field, on wherever you are. Make sure that you have a pair of fan hands, and you can get them at any time. The store is always open, fanhands.com. Thank you all for tuning in. Truly appreciate it. Want to put a special thanks out to Syracuse Orange point guard Michael Benajay, center by Keita, point guard Tyler Ennis, power forward slash center Rakeem Christmas, and shooting guard Trevor Cooney for all coming on to the show and doing exclusives with me. I truly appreciate that. I want to thank Jason from Maryland for getting on the fan line and continuing to bring his expertise, his knowledge. When you watch as a fan, you know, I listen to you, and you give me ideas, you share opinions, you help open my eyes to some things, you help me see things, and you let me know what you're interested in and what you want to talk about. That's why the fan line is here, and I thank people like Jason from Maryland who use it so well. The fan line, 315-5031-FAN. That's 315-503-1326, open 2 hours after every Syracuse Orange football and men's basketball home games. Don't miss out on getting on the fan line. 2 hours after every home game, make sure you're there. 315-503-1326. This is Dan Tatora on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Be well. We'll talk to you very soon. And just so you know, for any show that you missed or maybe went by you, you didn't see it, you were at work, didn't catch it, you will always have them on WakeUpCallDT.com, and you can have them right on your phone in an app that's free by going to the Apple or Google Play Store and searching Sports DT. That's SportsDT. Be well. Talk to you soon.